Blog Talk Radio.
Our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're rooting, and we want that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the something wrong with my sound there. Hey, what up, boxing fans? This is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday night. I'm trying to get back to these Tuesday nights, so bear with me. Hope everybody's doing okay. We have a variety of things to talk about this weekend. To be fair, not a whole lot going on. We do kind of close the month pretty well with a couple of cards. One being here, a couple other overseas, just in general, there's some fights. And then I think is it April 2nd, something like that. The first Saturday of April is really slow, but no, you know, no big surprise because that's, you know, March Madness, that's the Final Four and whatnot. But, we did have a dramatic knockout finish over the weekend. Lee Wood with the Dramatics. And no, not the R&B crew, but he came from behind on Michael Conlan, pause, and somehow, some way, even though he looked hurt late in that fight and multiple times in the fight, he scored, like I said, a dramatic knockout, so much so that, you know, Conlan fell out the ring. So hopefully, you know, from the sounds of it, he's doing okay. We'll quickly go over the show box as well, but we will start with Conlan Wood. Like I said, a really, really fun fight. And then we'll kind of keep it within the current fight news stuff. Showtime did release their spring in summer schedule, at least the start of summer. I think it'd be, what, in 2 weeks. So late March till early July. That's right. Because that Mexayo and Vargas fight, I think, is early July. So some really, really good fights on there. You know, you're going to have your, you know, obviously Jermall Charlo's not fighting adds up to much. But, of course, we know the Munguia stuff. That's another thing we'll talk about, that Charlo-Munguia fallout, which now that we have a lot of information, and Oscar De La Hoya basically confirmed it, with his little live stream the other night, talking about, you know, how DAZN has to be involved. They didn't make an offer. DAZN put up no money for the fight, but somehow, some way, DAZN has to be involved with the fight, even though Showtime put up the money. So we're going to get into that. Some people are saying, well, why don't you just do a split? That's fine. It's been done before. You know, it really hasn't been done that many times in boxing history. And generally speaking, when you do a split network, it means there's like a truckload, like a just a bunch of cash piled up, right? That's generally what it means. Or, you know, the fighters are so expensive that, hey, we'll take care of our side, you take care of your side, and then we'll split the profits. But it's just, it's crazy. I can't believe this. Well, I shouldn't say I can't believe it. It's boxing. Right? Even last week we talked about we weren't so sure, even though he'd had the offer for a little bit, the Munguia side. The crazy thing is they agreed to terms. And once you've agreed to terms, most fights get done. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, maybe they don't happen because they get postponed or canceled for a certain reason. That's a little different, but Oscar De La Hoya wanted to make it a pay-per-view. And it sounds like DAZN didn't even want that. Showtime was going to have a normal Showtime. But I mean, imagine the Charlo brothers, Charlo Castaño 2, and then Charlo Munguia. We know what happened to the Canelo fight. Canelo ended up taking a different deal against, you know, a very tough fight against Bivol in the first part of it anyway. But it is a disappointment for Jermall Charlo. But, man, I'm seeing more and more people today comment on Twitter about that fight in particular. Like, I'm talking maybe, I haven't even been on Twitter much, but maybe because I've been a little busy today, but I've seen probably 7 or 8 media members, or I guess you could call some of them part-time media members, that's their first instinct to say that Charlo fight sucks. And that's fair. It's a very mediocre opponent. I mean, I guess to not add context in that, you know, when he literally agreed to terms with Munguia, which stylistically, that probably would have been the best fight on the schedule, just stylistically. But it's really funny how Showtime puts out a large schedule, and a lot of folks who claim to call it down the middle and whatnot, and how we need to just call it like it is, and these, you know, promoters need to work together, and that's all they could say is something about Charlo, you know, in this fight. But they're not talking about the actual. I mean, some of them have tweeted later about it, but it's funny. Like, your first instinct is just pick that fight out. You could do that with anybody. That's what's so funny about it. But the context is really funny. But anyway, we are going to talk about that fallout because it looks like they actually gave the Munguia side the rematch on DAZN. Once again, you know, Showtime's the only side that put up money, or, you know, whatever, TGB, and then, you know. But they were going to get, I believe, Mexican TV rights, according to the reports, UK. So it's like they did give you something. But why, you know, if you pay for the fight, generally you don't give much. You know what I mean? You could say, okay, well, we're not going to have it in Houston or something like that. But, yeah, I can't believe that fight fell out. But when I say I can't believe it, I mean, this one's on Oscar De La Hoya, let's be honest. Because, like I said, you know, it sounds like DAZN didn't want it pay-per-view either. But whatever. We'll get into that. Caleb Plant agreed to terms with Anthony Durrell. And I think it's a, you know, we talked about it after as far as just a comeback fight and then to try to make the fight with Benavidez. Now, I know Benavidez put out a tweet the other day, maybe it was Instagram, saying, oh, they didn't want to fight in September. We're trying to set up our next fight, and they're all, they don't want it. Meanwhile, he doesn't fight till May, and, you know, Plant has already agreed to a fight. But it sounds like, anyway, the plan is to try to match them later in the year, as long as, you know, obviously injuries play a role. The politics shouldn't play that much of a role in this one. But with boxing, you just never know. Like I said, it could be injury, could be a lot of things. But as far as, like, a comeback fight after taking your first loss, I like the Anthony Durrell fight for Caleb Plant, especially if it leads to the winner of Benavidez and Lemieux. Most people think, you know, Benavidez would get that done. But, yeah, so we'll start in the ring, and then we'll go from there. Like I said, this weekend is not, like, chock full of fights and whatnot. So it is March Madness, okay? So March and early April, they pretty much belong to college basketball. So, you know, it is what it is, right? And sometimes we have so many fight, you know, 3-4 different cards, full cards too. So sometimes, you know, you get a little break. It is what it is. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. Like I said, I'm trying to get it back to Tuesdays. But, you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open. Download the show directly there. Listen to the browser. You can find the platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, Amazon Music, You can find it at a bunch of places. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. One more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99 a month. It's the best of live TV and on demand. No annual contracts, no hidden fees. If you go upgrade to the Choice or Ultimate package, that gives you 3 free months of HBO Max, plus you get to enjoy regional sports networks without the additional fee. And speaking of Showtime, if you upgrade to the Premier package, that'll give you HBO Max and Showtime already included. That's DirecTV Stream, and I believe it's $11 for Showtime on this platform, just so you know, boxing fans, because Showtime just popped off with a nice schedule. Okay. Michael Conlon, Lee Wood. Wow. What a comeback. Like, a lot of people are saying it's going to be fight of the year. And you could say it was fight of the year right now. But I don't see that, to be honest with you. But the dramatics, the comeback, the knockout itself. Like I said, I'm glad to hear that Conlon's doing okay. But, geez, that was brutal. I mean, he was out. And he just fell right through the ring. You rarely see it like that, man. So, hopefully he makes a full recovery. Like I said, all the reports have been, you know, pretty positive. So, but right off the bat, Conlon comes out there landing that left hand, you know, to the head and to the body. And he landed a left right at the buzzer, basically, of the first round. So it's a 10-8 round. And, you know, the second round, the third round, even though there was some, you know, especially the third round was kind of close, the body work, it looked like later in the second round, Conlon hurt him again. Now, like I said, the third was close, but I thought the harder shots were Conlon's. So I had him up 3-0 with a knockdown. Now, I did see Wood start to gain some ground, right? He would close that distance. That was the big thing. He needed to close that distance. The fourth one was very close, but I think by him closing the distance, Wood, and also, you know, being able to trap him on the ropes, even though Conlon can do some nice upper body movement, that slowly but surely wasn't as effective. He countered off the ropes and all that stuff that we talked about he'd do last week, but slowly but surely, you could see Wood was making, you know, some hay in that anyway. The fifth round, another close one, good back and forth, some late exchanges. I gave it to Conlon, but it's one of those question marks. I gave Wood the sixth round. Conlon, you know, landed nice right hooks to the body. He had like a nice little flurry. Was it enough to steal that round? You could make that argument, but I think the hooks and uppercuts from Wood were enough there. Seventh round, like I said, this one was really close. I gave it to Conlon, but I gave to Wood. What the fuck's wrong with me? He was just a tad busier. He landed some good combinations early, clean left hooks to the head. But, you know, that's the funny thing about this fight and what made it so dramatic and good in general is in the eighth round, I gave it to Wood, but did he buzz him late in that fight with a few nice overhand lefts? If so, then it's probably Conlon's round. Ninth round, it did slow down a little bit. You know how sometimes when you have 12 rounders, there's one round in there. It seemed like both guys were kind of missing. Once again, not really sure how to score that one, that ninth round. The 10th round I did give to Wood, though. Thought he was more active. He had those flurries on the ropes and whatnot. And then the 11th round, Wood was getting on the inside more, landing the better shots on the inside. And don't get me wrong, Conlon landed several nice hooks, in particular when they were exchanging down the stretch. But there was a left hook in that exchange late in that round that scored a knockdown. Now, right away, it kind of did look like a slip minorly, but it was a clean punch. And as far as what they showed on the replay, we actually didn't get a good replay. At least I didn't, watching it on DAZN on the replay, you know. I didn't see it live, so maybe they showed a couple more clips or something, but I couldn't really see the feet. To me, it just looked like a good shot, and Conlon went down. I know he got up real quick, and maybe I just didn't, you know, like I said, the replay, they showed it really quick, and then the round started. So I never did get to see a multiple replays there, so I did give it 10-8, obviously. But once again, you know, Wood started more and more landing better shots, the better shots in those exchanges. And he landed, what was it, a right hand, I believe? When Conlon was on the ropes, he was concussed right there, and he fell right backwards through the ropes. Like I said, the dramatics were just silly in this one. I had him down on the card fairly clearly. But, you know, there's probably, I mean, what I say, like three rounds that are kind of swing rounds. So I had Conlon up a decent amount. And I know that 10-8 did come back. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. So I had him up 3 rounds early. Then by the fifth round, that's tough. Seventh round, another one. Excuse me, I'm yawning it here. I mean, he did make his way back in the fight, though. I mean, beyond, like, the eighth round, I did get in the sixth round. I don't know. I mean, it was close, but I did have, just looking at it, I did have him up in the fight, but it didn't matter. It didn't go to the scorecards, and I think it was close in favor of Conlon anyway on the scorecards. In fact, I think someone, I can't remember. I'm going to check really quick. I can't remember if someone text me the cards, or did I screenshot them? I did see the cards, though. I do remember that. So he was up on the cards, Conlon was. Let's see. So, anyway. But, yeah, I mean, wow. And I did hear Conlon talking about a rematch. I understand why he wants that. I'm not sure if, like, he just wants the rematch, or he actually has a rematch clause. I didn't really hear that part of it. Well, actually, hold on. This was a purse bid, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a purse bid because Eddie Hearn won it. Good call on his part. That's for sure. I saw Conlon's people right next to Eddie, and Eddie does a pretty good job. Of course, you're going to be energetic and all that. And that little thing he did when Bellew got knocked out was a little weird, but overall, you could see him trying to keep his shit together, but also wanting to scream even more, because the Conlon side would get up so many times. I saw Eddie right through the ropes, and he was trying to, not that he needed to be neutral, but I remember seeing that, and he's like, fuck, dude, my guy's losing. But then all of a sudden, you know, that was awesome, and, you know, the crowd was a solid crowd, and just a really fun fight, man. It, like I said, I'm not trying to shit on it. I just don't think it'll be fight of the year. A lot of times when fights happen like that, you kind of call them that. I saw a fair amount of people tweeting that. I don't think it'll be fight of the year. You could make, you know, the argument's there for sure. Right now it's the fight of the year. You know, I mean, like I said, Wood down the stretch was hurt. He literally was hurt, too, you know, like multiple times in this fight, somehow, some way. So shout out to him. Lee Wood, Leo Santa Cruz, I don't know. Is that like that was called for, right? Like the winner has to fight Leo if Leo wants to keep his belt anyway. I'm pretty sure that was called, and I saw recent interviews with Leo Santa Cruz saying that he's going to try to make that fight. So since it was called, will they officially say, hey, that fight needs to happen by this date? And then will there be a purse bid? Is Eddie Hearn going to pop up and win this one? I don't know. It'll be interesting, but I would like to see that fight. I think it's a good fight. If they did a rematch, I definitely wouldn't be pissed, because look at the drama we got. So shots out to both fighters, really. Conlon fought a pretty damn good fight into those, you know, really those last two rounds. I mean, sure, he did start losing rounds, you know, second half, like I mentioned, eighth round and on. It was hard to get too many rounds. But he hurt him, and I mean, that was fun. That was fun. I liked the match because, you know me, if it's equally matched on paper, I care about the style fight, you know, like, I get it, you know, I get, like, stylistically it is funner to watch, even a fight that's, like, 9-3, you know, or 8-4, but it's just a fun action-packed fight where it's two-way within most of the rounds, that could be more enjoyable than a slower fight that's 6-6 or whatever. But on paper, I didn't know what we were going to get out of this, but on paper, I really liked it as far as just because it was so tightly matched in the ring, it showed up like that. So shouts out to both guys, like I said, but Lee Wood, wow. Man, he came through in a big way. I mean, this guy came through. You know, there is a variety of announcements, by the way. Somebody did text me that DAZN released some fights, and that is true. They did. Yeah, they did. So I'll go over those, too. But, man, dude, that was fun. That was a whole lot of fun. I'm actually, who was the one? I saw a couple other fights, but which boxer, the women's boxer who, was it Sandy Ryan? That's who it was. She got beat. She got upset. I did see that. And, you know, it's always interesting to see how people bounce back, you know, taking an L, and so that'll be interesting to see. As far as, like, well, the show box, it was a triple header, but honestly, like, I understand why they had the first fight on, because obviously, you know, the father-son deal, and then that's cool, you know, the prospect win, and you know, it is what it is, right? But I did actually think the second, but De Los Santos wasn't having it, dude. I mean, he scored a knockdown real quick with the right hand in the first round, real quick. And then in the second round, like a jab and a hard left hand, good night. You know, it was over. I actually thought that De Los Santos would get some rounds here. I'm not saying he was for sure going to go the full distance. What was it? Was it an 8 or a 10? I think it was an 8. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was a 10. But, no, I think it was an 8. Either way, it didn't matter. He got De Los Santos lit up Acosta. So I definitely want to see more of him. And then you had Ardrell Holmes and Vernon Brown. Vernon, what was it, Sub-Zero, I think, was his thing. This was fairly competitive. Somewhat within the rounds. I think I had it home 6-4, maybe 5-4-1. It was competitive. You know, Holmes, for me, took out of the first four rounds, I had 3 out of 4 of them going to Holmes. Was it Ardrell, I think it was, yeah. His jab was doing pretty well. And also throwing right hands, good body work. And, you know, that's not to say, like, Brown, you know, landed a couple early in those first couple of rounds, some short uppercuts. He was landing some nice shots with both hands, actually. I did think that Brown, like I said, one out of the first four, or 3 out of the first 4 for Holmes. I did have Brown win the third round. His body work, the uppercut, to me, you could see he was getting back in the fight. I gave him the fifth round as well. It was a close round, but I think a lot of the body work he put in early in that round did it. The sixth, I mean, honestly, another close round. They kept saying that on the broadcast, like, I don't know about this one. You know what I mean? That was close, you know, and you could say the same thing about in the seventh round. I did give the sixth round 2 homes, but it was close. The seventh round, You had Holmes doing his thing early, Brown doing his thing late, and he, when he'd cut that distance and really kind of go off on him, and Holmes wouldn't be doing much, that's obviously when he had his best work. So close seventh. I did give the eighth to Brown. I thought he I'm looking at it wrong. No, I gave that one to Holmes. He landed the better shot, a late left, really nice left hands now that I think about it. The ninth round I did give to Holmes as well. He landed, you know, early in that round several flush shots, more uppercuts and body work and all that good stuff. But then Brown, you know, two-way round, but Brown was busier. So, you know, the third, the fifth, the tenth, and maybe the seventh, maybe you can give him a different round. I don't know, but that's why I think up 6-4 is pretty good. You know, maybe 6-3-1, maybe 5-4-1, because like I said, I mean, can't always give. You got, if there's swing rounds, you got to swing them around. You know what I mean? Holmes out jabbed him 35-8. The body work was in favor of Brown 70-35. Overall, Holmes landed 194-129, and he threw 662. They both landed 29%, so it was pretty accurate. Good fight, nothing crazy, but a good, you know, good fight. Like I said, the first four-rounder didn't do much for me, but we got a nice knockout in a competitive fight. Wasn't great, but a competitive fight. A good effort by Vernon Brown, but Artrell Holmes, I wouldn't go to bat for him, per se. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how good he is. I think we saw some of his ceiling on that fight, but we'll see. We'll see how he goes. You know, he'll definitely be back at Showbox soon. There were some other fights, but probably not going to spend a whole lot of time in detail on those. We'll probably be just get to a variety of news. This one kind of snuck up on me. I literally just getting off work, and Jake Donovan posts Virgil Ortiz hospitalized, forced to withdraw from this weekend. I mean, that was one of the fights that was going to happen this weekend. I was going to at least preview that one. I thought, you know, maybe that Michael McKinson stylistically could be a little bit different. Isn't he is he a southpaw? He's kind of crafty. And Ortiz is still young enough in his career where he can still learn in these fights, you know what I mean? So I didn't think – a lot of people destroyed that fight. I didn't think it was that bad. I think there could have been some lessons in there. But, yeah, he was forced – I don't know, man. I've never even heard of him. But Oscar De La Hoya, who we'll talk about later, he says, we wish Virgil a very quick and speedy recovery. Let's see. An update on the show's Fight It by Golden Boy. Boxing scene has learned, however, that efforts are being made to salvage the show and to secure a replacement opponent for McKinson, who is due to make his U.S. debut. Blair Cobbs, Blair the Flair, who's fighting Rocha, Alexi Rocha. He said, I'll step in. I just saw a clip of that or something like that right before I started the show. But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is, like, really, really, this illness is, like, a serious, serious illness. Like I said, I'm not that familiar with it at all. But, you know, I guess it's real serious. Like, he's at risk. So, yeah, I hope he gets better, man. Damn. Like, that's some scary stuff. I mean, he had to go to the hospital. Like, what the hell? So, basically, the CDC, defined by the CDC, the diagnosis, a serious medical condition that could be fatal or result in permanent disability. Like, oh, shit. So, yeah, my thoughts definitely go out to Virgil Ortiz. He's such a young, you know, fighter that has so much potential and power. And yeah, man, that's a shocker, dude. That's pretty scary, man. That's real scary. Here's a little bit of really good news, and we thought this was going to happen in some form or fashion, and it sounds like it's with the network now. So Ennis, Boots Ennis, Keith Eidick reporting on BoxingSeat.com, agrees to a multi-fight deal with Showtime, and he's going to face Clayton. What is it, Castillo Clayton? That'll be the co-feature on that card. And so that's a co-feature to Charlo Castaño, too. So kind of interesting. It says right here that, you know, he signed a deal with the network, obviously, multi-fight contract, which could televise as many as 3 fights by the end of 2022. So it looks like he's going to try to stay nice and active. So it basically says, you know, it's been tough for him to land meaningful welterweight fights for obvious reasons. In part because, you know, he wasn't affiliated with Heyman. So the new deal will time to Showtime. It doesn't time to PBC, but he will continue competing on PBC shows as part of Heyman's 4-year agreement with the premier cable network. And you say 4-year, is that a new 4-year deal? Because it wasn't the last one a 3-year deal? I'm starting to get confused. So, you know, it keeps him in the realm. I don't know if Al just didn't want to sign him or they were really grateful to Showtime. So they're like, hey, let's align with them. And either way, putting yourself with Showtime still puts you in great position. So I think they made a good decision there. It's not just, oh, they signed with Al. But if, you know, if you're trying to get some big fights, that's the place you want to go. So kind of interesting there. Yeah, kind of interesting, man. Like I said, we will get to the Charlo Munguia fallout, which it just silly stuff happens in boxing, right? And this is really one of them. And we'll definitely get to that Showtime schedule, that spring and early summer schedule filled with a bunch of good, some of them really great fights like Charlo and Castaño 2 and Fulton. By the way, Fulton and Roman, which I'm really really like that one. But I'm even more biased loving it because that shit's at the Armory, dude. There was this rumor going around, and I've seen Coppinger and a couple other folks saying, I wouldn't think much of it. But I'm going to report it just in case because I did see some people push back on that. But this is Las Vegas locally on Twitter. The Canelo Alvarez-Dimitri Bivol fight planned for May 7th at the T-Mobile Arena may be postponed or canceled, according to MGM Resort Insiders. And like I said, I saw that in a couple places. So it's like, I don't know. What would be the delay? Did someone get banged up in camp and they're like, you know, trying to see if they can still fight and they're kind of lingering or what? You know, I'd assume it has nothing to do with, you know, Bivol being Russian. But yeah, this is, like I said, it's nothing to get. I'm looking forward to that fight. I wouldn't, you know, freak out too much about it, but, I don't know. But yeah, this is what someone texted me here or messaged me here. April 1st, April 22nd, May 13th, and May 20th, DAZN put out a schedule. Sandor Martin, who's coming off that obviously big win, against Felix. That actually could be an interesting fight. Jose Felix, what's it for? The WBA International Super League. Okay, great. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. Zuko and Nikolic I know Iván Zuko. This is a 168. He's an undefeated guy. Taking on a veteran who's like, actually, let me look. I think it's 28. Yeah, 28-1. And Zuko is 15-0 with 13 KOs. And then we have Metcalf, who's a pretty solid fighter, actually, getting in there with, J.J. Metcalf. This is May 20th with Lajaraga. Is it Lajaraga? Lajaraga? I've definitely seen both these guys fight. That's a good little test for him. And then May 13th, Scardina and Dave Carlos. I don't know the second dude he's fighting, Dave Carlos. I don't think I've seen him fight. I'll have to look more into that. But the Martin Felix, Jose Felix, I definitely am interested in that fight. Three out of the four fight I have interest in. It's light interest, but there's some interest in it, no doubt about it. Bob Arum revealed to Fight Hub TV that basically Kambosos and Lomachenko was a done deal until obviously Loma had to return to Ukraine, you know what I mean? He said Kambosos Jr. team are now nearing the point where they'll have to move on and fight somebody else, but it sounds like that was a done deal. Now that's obviously Bob Dockin, but it doesn't surprise me that it's a done deal, right? It would make a whole lot of sense. Let's see. A couple other news items that I wanted to get to. Where the hell are they? I can't remember what it was. So anyway, let's talk about, the Charlo Munguia's bit in depth. It's kind of like a segment, right, obviously. So let's wait. And that's obviously bad news. So let's skip the bad news for right now. Okay, let's get into that in a second. But let's look at that Showtime schedule. Nine fights? Yeah, nine shows. I think two of them are unifications. You know how they're going to say, a bunch of undefeated fighters and all that type of stuff. Title eliminators, blah, blah, blah. Seven world championship matches, it is what it is. But anyway, two of these cards are at the Armory, by the way. And we're going to go into depth about the one coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend, March 26th at the Armory. Tim Tszyu coming to town, making his U.S. debut against a good, solid vet in Terrell Gouchee. I think that's a good fight for him. The co-feature, though, Michelle Rivera and Joseph Adorno. As long as Adorno can make weight, it does sound like, wasn't it Jake Donovan that said it'll probably be like 138? I don't know, but I hope he makes weight because that has a chance to just explode. Then Elvis Rodriguez and Juan Jose Velasco, which, for where Rodriguez is in his career, I think that's a good fight for him. Looks like that's a catch weight. They put in welterweights 142 pounds, but they didn't do that for the co-feature. And when I go through the schedule, not every one of them have the undercard fights too. This card in general, but especially the main event. Erickson, this is April 9th. This is going to be in Vegas. Erickson Lubin against Sebastian Fundora. Now, we know that this is for, I think it's like interim WBC. It's basically setting up the mandatory. As we know, when you try to bring all the belts together and become undisputed, it gets a little tough. Tim Tszyu is sitting there waiting. The winner of this is sitting there waiting. But you never know. I wouldn't doubt if the co-feature. Anyway, Fundora is just an all-action guy. I mean, I'll tell you what, Sergio Garcia did find a way to slow him down last fight, though. and make him miss a little bit. So it'll be interesting. Erickson Lubin has a lot of skill, and I think he'll use a lot of it, but we know he likes to get, you know, tangled. He likes to tangle, and he'll get usually buzzed in almost every fight. That's just how he does it, but he's got a lot of power. And like I said, he's very accurate and whatnot. So I just like how Lubin's now working his way back through just solid veteran guy after a bit. You know, this isn't a veteran guy, but Bondora, you know, belongs here too in this fight. So I like that fight a lot. I do think it'll be a little – it'll be better than the Garcia fight. Speaking of Sergio Garcia, who only has that one loss, 33-1, and he showed pretty good, even though it was a weird stylistic fight. He showed okay against Fundora, but he's taking on Tony Harrison. And I wouldn't doubt if Garcia Harrison winner takes on Lubin Fundora. You know what I mean? Just because, I mean, we don't know exactly who's going to drop the belt, who's going to win, then who's going to drop the belt. You know, the point is someone's going to be waiting. You know, so if the belts don't get dropped, and let's say, you know, whoever wins, they're going to have to fight Tim Tszyu, I think, is the first one in line. So whoever wins against with Harrison and Garcia, so that'd be an interesting fight, too. And then, once again, Lubin. The thing is, it's like Lubin, he took that big risk, what was that, 2017, as a young undefeated fighter, got starts in the first round. But we've seen that, not time and time again, like it happens all the time, but it does happen a fair amount. Badu Jack comes to mind, like many of fighters, right? And you just get starts in the first round. But I think a fight with Garcia or Harrison, especially Harrison, man, there's another guy that even if the fight's not like super back and forth the whole time or like a brawl, he just has a way of like winning a fight and then getting hurt. Or being hurt, coming back and knocking a guy down, you know. So Harrison's put on some very intriguing fights over the years, even though, like the Hurd fight where he was up, the Willie Nelson fight where he was up, and then just to get, you know, knocked out. And same with the Charlo fight, the rematch. So I like that fight. And then you have Perella, who actually looked good, speaking of, that was Tony Harrison too, wasn't it, against Kelvin Salgado. Prospect, and that's at 54. So I think that's an interesting fight. We'll see. Then you have the Spence Ugas fight and the Butiev and Stanonius fight. Espinoza did break a little bit of news with detail. Well, he broke news for some of these fights, but I'm saying overall there's going to be six fights, much like Fox does it on some of theirs. Well, they have this year anyway. They've done it here and there. But they're going to have, like, a prelim. But the prelim is Butiev and Stanonius. It sounds like the three fights that are going to be part of the pay-per-view are going to be announced next week. They're still trying to wrap it up. But Brandon Lee is the opener. And so there's a doubleheader Showtime card before the pay-per-view starts against Ochoa or something like that. Zachariah Ochoa, I think. Which, you know, I mean, whatever. You know, I'm not saying, oh, that's a great fight or whatever. I do like watching Brandon Lee. And maybe he'll get another highlight knockout. But Butiev and Stanonius is a good fight. Very good fight. You know, both those guys are trying to climb the ranks. And, you know, supposedly, according to the WBA, whoever wins this fight gets the winner of Spence Ugas. I don't know if they're going to hold it to it or if someone takes step-aside money or whatever, but Butiev and Stanonius is going to be the headliner on the doubleheader. So really that night, obviously you have to have Showtime, but you have six fights that night. And I like that they do that. That's something that the UFC does, and it's dope. You know, it does give you a little bit more bang for your buck that night. Then one of the best fights on the whole schedule. Of course, Brian Castaño takes on Jermell Charlo in the rematch. That's somewhere in L.A., May 14th, and that's where Jaron Ennis and Castillo Clayton, which I did think Clayton beat Lipinets in that fight. It was competitive, but I did think he beat him. most people did. So I'm glad he's getting glad he's getting a big fight. This is the IBF welterweight elimination. So it says IBF elimination match. Doesn't say final. So we'll see you on that. Then David Benavidez for David Lemieux. You know, it doesn't have – this is for the interim WBC, isn't it? Whatever, it doesn't really matter. But he's trying to become mandatory, although I'm not sure why because, you know, Canelo's the franchise. And then this got salvaged because of an injury. Or what – was it injury? Or yeah, it was injury. It was a minor injury. Yoelvis Gomez, the 5-0, 5-KO prospect from Cuba, takes on Jorge Cotto. And we know Jorge Cotto can be knocked out. We know he's got a lot of power. On your sixth fight, Jorge Cotto is a good fight to take on. So I like that doubleheader. You know, where's David Lemieux, you know, now in this part of his career? I don't know. You know, I'm guessing faded, right? He hasn't had a big fight like this since, what, Billy Joe Saunders? We saw how he dealt with him. But it's going to be a lot different. I think as far as the style of the fight, I actually think this will be a fun two-way fight for, like, maybe 4 to 6 rounds. Maybe not that different than the Anthony Durrell fight, right? Because Lemieux will throw. He's got power, you know. But he is faded. It appears faded. I never thought a whole lot about Lemieux beyond the power, to be honest with you. I mean, that Golovkin fight, he didn't do shit in that Golovkin fight, if we're honest. Don't get me wrong, Golovkin jabbed the shit out of him. But stylistically, it's a good fight. That's May 21st in Phoenix. And then I'm really happy about this fight taking place at the Barclays because it will be a big event. Don't get me wrong. Davis Romero is not a matchup I'm just, like, super pumped, right? I've already kind of given my take on this fight. But the fact that it's at the Barclays, it's the first fight at the Barclays in a while, and you could call this a not a big fight. That's cool. But it will be a big event atmosphere because Gervonta's there. And so that part of it I'm really all about. And it does fit the vibe of talking shit at the Barclays. Like, that press conference would probably be pretty fun. But I don't know. You know, hopefully it's a good undercard. But I've already kind of – I think we talked about it last week. There's 4 pay-per-views starting April 16th to May 28th, right? Back-to-back. Is it back-to-back? Yeah. 16th, 23rd, and then May 7th. As far as we know that fight's still going to be on with Biddle and Canelo. And then this one. So, you know, we may not get one in June. We may not get one in March. I think I said that last week. But it's still every month. I mean, when push comes to shove. So that's where you become picky and choosy. And so 2 out of those 4 I'll buy. But the other one, it comes down to, see, Gervonta is easy for me because I know a fair amount of people that like him. So more likely someone will have bought the fight, but we'll see. Now, here's the one that I'm super pumped about. June 4th at the Armory again, Fulton Jr. and Daniel Roman, who Roman took MJ pretty close. I did think MJ won the fight, no doubt. I thought he won it, but it was competitive. Was that a majority decision or was that a split decision? Am I tripping on that? Maybe I'm wrong on that. But it was competitive as hell. And so this is a great measuring stick. And it's not even a measuring stick, if we're honest. Because look at his last fight. That shit was tight as hell. It was a split decision. All cards were 7-5. One of them, obviously, for Roman. And I'm talking about MJ. Obviously, I'm talking about Akmaldiyev. Oh, my God, I just butchered that. You know what I'm saying. that's really bad. I love this fight. I loved it already, right? It's a great fight. But the fact that it's at the Armory, dude, oh, my goodness gracious. And there were plenty of people on Twitter saying, why is that in Minnesota? And I get it. You know, they could have put it in California. You know, they could have put it in Philly or the East Coast. Obviously, they probably weren't going to put it at the Barclays, you know, a week later. But, you know, there's no WBA involved, right? So the one thing you don't want to do is fight a WBA fighter in Minneapolis, right? although I think that's not going to be the case anymore. But at least there's no home court advantage. I think that's what's big. And we know the Armory is going to come out, and it's going to be loud. And David Morrell Jr. is on the undercard. He's taking on Kelvin Henderson. This looks like a rounds getter to me. This guy's gone some rounds, but it's not a fight that I'm like, oh, dude, that's bomb. You know what I mean? That's probably one of the weakest fights on this schedule. Charlo and Selecki, don't get me wrong. You know, Selecki's like a top 10, top 15 guy. But, you know, so anyway, that's going to be on June 18th in Houston. Jermall Charlo and Selecki, I think is actually how you pronounce it with the Polish vibe in there. But, you know, it's like I said, I've seen people comment on this fight. Like, Showtime puts out an announcement. Oh, I hate that Charlo fight. You know, it's like, what? But we'll go into that Charlo Munguia stuff. But, yeah, I'm not overly excited about that fight either, you know. But when you put it in context, I mean, come on, dude, you know. Imagine if that was Munguia. I mean, obviously, it was supposed to be Charlo and Canelo, right? But Canelo chose a different route. That's cool. I'm not saying he's not going to be fighting Bivol. When you fight it's like people that were talking, Mikey Garcia's ducking Loma to fight Spence. What? Loma's ducking Haney. He fought Teofimo. Like, come on, dude. You know, I'm not saying Canelo's ducking him, but it'd be a better fight, obviously. Canelo and Charlo, sign me the fuck up stylistically. And then when we talk about style and just action fights, Charlo and Munguia. Hopefully that fight happens later this year because that shit would have been bomb. And the way it was reported by Coppinger, it made it sound like it was going to be pay-per-view. But that was not the case. The only person we'll talk about it was Oscar coming up with a joint pay-per-view. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But, yeah, anyway, that fight is happening. And then July 9th, to close it out, Mark Macsayo, who actually just got that win over, a one-armed Russell, against Ray Vargas, 35-0. And I respect Ray Vargas a lot. I respect his skills. People don't like his style. You know, not every Mexican fighter is Mexican style. You know what I mean? I mean, look at Estrada. He'll brawl with you, but he's very technical. Same with Marquez. I mean, same with Morales. Look at Barrera. I mean, Barrera started out one way, and by the end of his career, totally different fighter. Or, you know, close to it anyway. So I'm really happy with this card, or this announcement in general. You always like when they do this announcement, you know, where you got your schedule. Okay, these 9 events. I'm all about it. Like I said, I know, you know, I mean, Charlo Castaño 2, Fulton Roman, Spence Ugas, Lubin Fundora, Boutiez Stanonius, that's a 50-50 fight. I mean, I really like this. I just do. And I know that, you know, people will be in my, you know, they'll be in my DM or just texting me straight up, oh, you're a PBC apologist. It's a good schedule. I'm not saying it's the best thing ever released, you know, but it's pretty damn good. And like I said, if we could have got Charlo and Canelo, or Charlo and Munguia, I mean, that shit would just be that much funner, you know? But, yeah, it's a very good schedule. Some of the fights are great. Like I said, Spence Ugas, to me, that's a great fight. Bolton and Roman. Daniel Roman is a damn good fighter. That's a great fight to me. It is what it is. I'm just looking forward to it. I think there's like a variety. There's a little bit of prospect stuff on there, getting a test, like Yoel Gomez and others. There's a fight like Ennis where he's taking on a solid dude. It's not a huge step up, but it's a step in the right direction. That's for sure. How do we even rate Errington Lubin? Now, of course, he's a top 10 guy, but, we're at Fondora. He had that draw a couple years back against Clark. But, so I'm not saying that's this huge test from a veteran. He's had some of these lately, but I just think there's a variety, you're not going to have, number one against number three on the whole schedule. It's just not going to happen. But it's got a little bit of everything. It's got the top flight fight. It's got kind of the mid-range two veterans going at it. It's got some prospect stuff. I'm really happy about that. That's going to be interesting. And we'll talk about a variety of stuff, but let's get to this Charlo Munguia, okay? So we knew last week that there was an offer from the Charlo side, okay? It was going to be on Showbox. It was going to be on Showtime. And, he was mulling it over. By the way, Munguia, what was it, two different Adamas, the other, what was the WBO Mando, he passed on that. He passed on the Adamas. He passed on that one. And we kind of were thinking, okay. So he's turned down Andre Derbychenko, Adamas, it sounds like anyway, including the other one I just mentioned too. And, there's certain fights that it's a right time type thing. Someone messaged me. They're not – okay. So we're going to get into the Caleb Plant, Benavidez stuff. We're going to get into that, okay? We're going to get into that in just a second. Or not a second, but, whatever. So anyway, the fight was on the table, okay? So the offer was there. We knew they were mulling it over last week. Like I said, I didn't sit there and, I just didn't sit there and make it, I didn't make much of it beyond, God, that would be a fun fight to watch because stylistically, like I've said. Then some news came out that Munguia and Charlo have agreed to terms. Now, mind you, once you agree to terms, the other negotiation points come in. But if you can get the money out of the way, it sure helps a lot of things. Because then you can go back and forth and finagle a little bit, right? And there was a pushback from Munguia's side. Now, Zamfir Promotions and Golden Boy are his representation for promoters. But it sounded like Golden Boy and Oscar De La Hoya was the one who stopped this fight. And I'm not saying it to hate on Oscar, right? I know there's a lot of fanboys of him he can say whatever and he just gets away with it. I loved him as a fighter in many ways. The guy fought everybody, but he came out the other night. Was that last night or two nights ago? He came out and admitted this stuff. So this isn't some kind of hate or bullshit. I know I'll still get the messages, but that's okay. Now, this is what's crazy, okay? So they come back with, we want it basically on pay-per-view, a joint pay-per-view. So Showtime, who had the terms agreed upon to have it on regular Showtime, not pay-per-view, They don't want that fight on pay-per-view. It's been reported multiple times, and Espinoza even said it. Okay? They didn't want it on pay-per-view, which that makes sense, right? Neither of them can drum up enough interest probably to go 200,000 and above, you know? And the gate's not going to be crazy, so I get it. I'm happy, right? But they come back with, well, it's DAZN has to be involved. But first of all, Golden Boy technically doesn't even have, and they've said this much, they don't have an actual signed deal right now with DAZN. That deal that they had, most of it was because of Canelo, obviously. And I'm not ripping them. It's true. I mean, that's true. They'd already have this deal done if it didn't have something to do with it. So they've been negotiating this deal with DAZN, but they don't have a finalized deal yet. That's what Oscar De La Hoya says. Okay, so haters, calm down. So I don't know if it's in his head to be like, hey, if we get the Charlo Munguia fight as a split, that'll help me get this deal. Hey, I brought you this fight. But from the sounds of it, Idick and other folks, and Espinoza to an extent, talking about this, that DAZN didn't want it on pay-per-view either. They didn't want to do a joint review either. But you don't randomly do a joint pay-per-view for something that's not even on pay-per-view. You know what I mean? So that tells me you don't want the fight, and not Munguia. Not Munguia. But Munguia agreed to terms. The money was right. And for you to say, hey, we got to do a joint pay-per-view, but you don't have to pay anything? So I don't know if he thought he was, if Oscar was trying to get DAZN to put up some money or something, but from the way it's been reported, multiple different reports, and even Espinoza, and it hasn't been pushed back by Golden Boy or anybody as of right now, Showtime's putting up the money, but yet you have to involve DAZN. What the fuck sense does that make? The fight doesn't even belong on pay-per-view, right? I get it. I'm happy because we've seen some fights that don't belong on pay-per-view that got on there for Fox, especially. But it's just crazy. So anyway, as it turns out, it's been reported multiple times that they actually did give the Munguia side and Gold Boy side multiple things. There was a rematch, right? If Charlo lost, Munguia and Golden Boy and Zamfer, they would control the fight. So they could have it on, the rematch could be on DAZN. Okay? Now, this is Coppinger reporting that they gave away the Mexican rights and the UK rights to the fight. Once again, why would Showtime and you know, Tom Brown, and why would they give away rights to a fight when they're putting up the money? But they did. Shows you how much they wanted to make this fight. So, and not only that, but DAZN gets a good shot of buying no matter what territory it's in. I shouldn't say no matter what. Maybe they already made a deal with, you know, in Australia or something like that. But DAZN, you know, I don't know if not a lot of people know this, but PBC fights get shown on DAZN in different countries too. It's not always on DAZN, but there's plenty of times ever since DAZN expanded to so many different countries that PBC sells their fights to DAZN, and it gets played in different countries. So they were going to get Mexico, which obviously that's where Munguia is from, the UK, which US and UK is the biggest boxing market, period, hands down. It's not even close. And then obviously Mexico is huge too. Maybe not finance, but the fan base is there majorly. And they're going to watch the damn fight. So Oscar just stays with it. And he literally got on, I think it was on a live stream, and said, DAZN, I want to make the fight. We could do a Showtime pay-per-view, but DAZN has to be involved. because they built up Munguia as if Munguia, I mean, don't get me wrong, he had a very nice, boisterous, super fun-looking crowd in his last fight in Mexico. It's not like he, you know, has a bunch of revenue coming in. So it's just weird to be like, no, DAZN has to be involved. What? Why would they? Because they helped build them. Well, then put up some money then. This is just elementary, dude. This is boxing 101. If you're not putting up the money, you can't really talk to, you know, it's kind of like DAZN and Eddie Hearn. Their argument was, well, if we put up the money, then we should be able to put the fight on where we want. Now, it looks like there was some back and forth. I remember Eddie Hearn saying, well, I'll pay for Haney's side, and then you can have the fight over there, and you come up with your money, you know, which at least he was trying to work with it. You know, it sounds like it anyway. Obviously, Lomachenko kind of did sound like, I'm not just going off Bob Arum's word, but it did kind of sound like that was going to be the fight. But it's just weird to even ask for a joint pay-per-view. And people are like, well, why can't we do that, dude? That's because there's not enough revenue. So one side puts it up, and then you got to split revenue? Well, it's more money for the fighters. What? Like, that makes no sense, dude. And people act like there's been just a ton of split, you know, split pay-per-views, joint pay-per-views. I mean, there just hasn't. You know, I think someone tweeted a list. What was the list? I mean, there really hasn't been many. Like, in general, there really hasn't been many. I mean, you had Holyfield Tyson. You had, obviously, both Wilder and Fury, 2 and 3. You know, that was there. But it's not something that Pacquiao Mayweather. But do you hear what I'm saying? You know, like, listen to the fights that I'm talking about. These are big fights that, you know, that have revenue, you know, that are major revenue. Like, of course, like, even the Wilder Fury, like, all people say, oh, that didn't do a million pay-per-views. Yeah, but the fucking thing did huge at the gate, dude. And, you know, 700, 600, 800, whatever it was, that shit is still a lot of pay-per-views. I mean, let's, you know, but people are acting like, oh, yeah, we'll just do a joint. That's not how the business works, dude. It's just crazy. And it basically says that they don't want the fight. And it's not Munguia. Because remember, Munguia, as a youngster, signed to fight Golovkin on short notice. And remember, it was the California Athletic Commission that stopped that fight. Munguia was ready to fight Golovkin as a young dude. But they thought it was too much of a mismatch. So they let Marta Rosen get knocked out quick. Here's a list. Actually, IDIC wrote this. There have been 4 joint pay-per-views over the last 20 years. Lewis Tyson, Mayweather Pacquiao, and both the ones. You know, it's just, come on, dude. It's like not even pricing yourself out. It's worse, you know? Because it's like, huh? But now Munguia has withdrawn himself, or, you know, his people, whatever, from the WBC title eliminator with Carlos Adamus. And that would guarantee him a shot if Charlo wanted to keep the belt. Basically, there would have been a purse bid for that, the Munguia Adamus, who came off that nice win. And that would have been to make the WBC mandatory. So whoever won between Munguia and Adamus, is that how you say it? Adamus. Whoever won that, boom. So it's like, I mean, they've passed, his side, Munguia, has passed on, I just did the list. I mean, it's just like he's 25 now, right? He's 25 years old. It's time to step up. And, you know, I understand maybe they don't want the Charlo fight right away on their big step up. That's I get it. That's cool. But what would have been wrong with the Adames fight or some of these other fights. But yeah, I mean, he's 39-0 now. His next fight will have 40 fights, dude. He's 25 years old. Would he really, I mean, some people are going to shit on boxers that lose. We know that. But how many people would really just dump on him for losing to Charlo? Is that like a bad opponent to lose to? No. No. And I think, well, clearly Munguia wanted it because he agreed to terms. You don't agree to terms and say, yeah, I'm ready to do that fight. Let's figure it out. Then we'll sign the contract. That's how it happens. You don't just randomly do that. It really sucks, you know. It really sucks, and like Oscar's always talking shit about the PBC, but then when push came to shove, he's not allowing his fighter to fight. I mean, obviously, talking about a fucking pay-per-view, a split pay-per-view, bro. Problem is, DAZN doesn't even want a split pay-per-view. By the way, that Josh Taylor Jack Catterall result. Judge Ian John Lewis has been downgraded after that scorecard. Okay? So basically, he went from an A-star class to an A-class official. A-star class to A-class. So that means, according to the BBB of C, the BB of C over there, the commission, rules, regulations, a Class A official could work in all contests, including contests for area championships, championships eliminators, championships to Great Britain. The thing cut off now. I don't know what it else it says. But it basically, I think the world title shit, he's not going to be involved. That's what I think it said. Okay, now I'm going to address, this person has been messaging me like crazy about this dude. I said I was going to get to it. Take a deep breath. Let me take one with you so I don't go silly here. But this is Jake Donovan, yesterday, day before? Per Jose Benavidez Sr. discussing September fight between Benavidez and Plant no longer in play. Benavidez side claims that he declined. Okay? Now, Plant came out with, you know, he actually put the cap up. He said he had a fight signed before me, meaning the fight he already fought with Lemieux. And, you know, he had the Lemieux fight. That's what he was going to go to because that's what got called by the WBC Benavidez. But he was also hoping to get that two-package Charlo Benavidez from Canelo, right? So this is what Canelo said back to him. Or Canelo, Caleb. He said he had a fight signed before me, then I get my fight signed, then he says something. When are y'all going to learn that I don't hide or lie about anything? Haven't I proven my character? So, and this is basically, you know, what Jake said about the scenario talking it through with the teams and actually looking at the whole thing. To clarify, the fight never evolved beyond casual discussions, separate paths await both. Benavidez has a fight May 21st. And then, you know, it'll probably be in the summer, I think July or something like that, for Plant and Anthony Durrell, with the intentions to have the winners meet later this year. So they're both going to fight. And then, you know, obviously with boxing, say, oh, yep, that's going to happen because, shit, someone could get hurt. Knock on wood. I don't want anybody to get hurt. But, you know, that this is how shit goes sometimes. But, yeah, so they – I mean, it's not the worst thing to come off your first loss by KO to come back and get a solid fight. Because – so he's ready to fight now. He's ready to start camp in a chunk of time. Was he supposed to wait for Benavidez to fight in May and then wait for him to rest, wait to have a camp, and then fight him in September maybe? Like, so he's supposed to just wait around? That's what a lot of people were saying. Oh, why don't Charlo just fight Benavidez next? Well, dude, he's been out of the ring. You know, he waited for that Canelo fight, you know, for Canelo to make his decision. Then they went to the Munguia fight. Well, he was going to fight in June one way or another. So there's no point in going well over a year out of the ring just to wait for Benavidez, because on the flip side, they say, oh, why are you just waiting for a fight, dude? You know, well, which one is it, dude? I think Anthony Durrell has a comeback fight. There's nothing wrong with that if and when that leads to a Benavidez fight. Obviously, Benavidez has to get by Lemieux. Most people think he will. But, yeah, they – I don't know, man. It is what it is. This is the Twitter stuff. You know, that's just what it is, man. That's the world we live in. You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, there's a lot of talk. But, you know, it is what it is. And this is Espinoza once again saying, no other network has made a bid on Charlo Munguia. DAZN could have offered to pay for the fight, but they chose not to. So, once again, why in the fuck, if someone's paying for the fight, why do they have to split with it? This is what Espinoza tweeted later, too. He said, simple, fair solution. As the champion, the side initiating the deal. That's another thing. They initiated this deal, and they're paying for the fight. The Charlo side, the TGB side. They get the first fight network on Showtime. If Munguia won, then they get it. They control the rematch. You take it to DAZN or wherever they choose. So, I mean, come on. Come on, dude. Like, I can't talk about this anymore. Anyway, so, yeah, it is cap because, you know, he just signed this fight. They just agreed to terms. And then now all of a sudden he's ducking him, Caleb Plant. Like, come on, dude. It's just Twitter stuff, dude. There's so much Twitter stuff now. It's just, let's see. Don't have a lot more to talk about. But they also, Jake also said the Munguia side, whether it's Zanfer or Golden Boy, kind of misled to the, like, delays. There was actually two delays, too. I forgot to mention that. There was actually two delays. They had two deadlines that they gave Golden Boy, two of them. And that's it. Then they finally put their foot down and said, all right, dude, we're moving on. But they did give them two deadlines. They had time, and that's why they're not in it. But they said there was conflicting information given from his team. And this is what happens sometimes when you have more than one promoter, right? They gave separate, you know, conflicting information to the WBC and WBO for two separate offers, those ones I was talking about. And so it's like, what the, like, how is this fight not happening, dude? Well, it's boxing, right? Anyway, it is funny, though. Like, Golovkin had a bigger fan base, no doubt, than Charlo. But remember when people would just dog that all Cota was doing is fighting Canelo next? I mean, wouldn't you do that? I mean, Golovkin's doing that thing right now. But Canelo has had two large offers to fight Charlo. Like I said, I'm not saying he's ducking him, but the facts are he did. Golovkin had a large offer before he signed with DAZN. He could have fought Charlo then, right? For sure. No doubt about it. Because, you know, the other one I get, because, you know, he was Golovkin was trying to get the rematch with Canelo. So when the WBC said, hey, you know, you fight Charlo and then the winner fights Canelo, well, that was bullshit too, because a lot of people think Golovkin won the first fight against Canelo, so why should he have to fight someone to get the Canelo fight? And ultimately, he didn't have to. So I get that. And even Charlo was cool with letting those guys fight again, because he knew that was the top two guys. But Golovkin had more than just one offer. So Canelo's had two offers. Golovkin's had an offer. Andre, a few years, had an offer. And now Munguia literally was ready to fight. And so it's funny. Charlo gets a bunch of shit from a variety of people, but Golovkin, those same people were letting Golovkin off the hook. Now, there were people like me and many others, though, on Twitter that were like, hold on, dude, slow down. We know you're fans of Golovkin, but, you know, why wouldn't Canelo or why wouldn't Cotto fight, you know, Canelo? Why wouldn't Canelo fight Cotto first before he fought Golovkin? It's a money fight. Who gives a shit? I mean, that's what, you know, look at what Golovkin's been doing this whole time. He's waiting to fight Canelo. That's all he's doing. And don't get me wrong, he's earned that. He's earned that. But it's just funny, like, the perception. And like I said earlier today, I saw at least 7 or 8 accounts that most of them were paid accounts, or not paid accounts, but paid media, like full-time. Some of them were part-time, but they just dogged on the Charlo fight, but didn't really even discuss the Showtime schedule yet. And you see this every time Showtime, and the PBC obviously, puts out a schedule, the same folks that say, oh, you know, the PBC needs to do this, they need to do that. It's just so funny. It's like, why aren't you commenting on these fights then? And then when they choose to comment, it's just dogging it. Let's pick out the one of the worst fights on the schedule and dog that, you know? It's crazy, dude. It is crazy, man. But, you know, you got to get likes and retweets and all that. We know what gets them. And don't get me wrong. There's plenty of, although there used to not be, but there's plenty of PBC fanboys out there on Twitter, too. I mean, all you got to do is look in the comments, and there's this one dude that's always, well, not just one, but multiple guys that are usually in the comments defending the PBC at every single turn. And not me either, you know? But anyway, let's see here. We got something we'll just do a little boxing Twitter. And oh, actually, hold on. Portland, let me know if you want to jump on. I got a little time for you. Otherwise, I'm probably going to shut the show down here. So I'm just going to go a little bit longer. And then, but if you want to talk about a fight coming up or a fight from last weekend or the Showtime schedule or whatever, you just let me know. Lee Wood is the perfect example of a fighter who didn't accept resistance. Who didn't accept resistance? A loss, a bad day, or the other guy being a little more talented. He just kept fighting to win. I'm very impressed with his determination. We have recently seen guys just accept losses. It's true. Colbert was in that situation not long ago. DAZN really went from claiming pay-per-view was dead and Showtime can't compete, they're literally going to get out of the business, to insisting that Charlo Munguia will be a joint pay-per-view instead of regular Showtime. Now, obviously, we know that's Oscar, and we can't blame that on, at least reports-wise, we can't blame that on DAZN. And, you know, it's one thing to try. Like, in some sense, I get why Oscar's trying to do something. You know, I get that part. Because, you know, he probably wants to sign this fight. Or he wants to sign a deal. So he's thinking, anything I help DAZN with, it gets me in better line to be able to finalize this deal. So I do get that. You know, totally. I get that part. But, I mean, for all the shit he talks, and we're going to see, and I've already seen only a handful of people, Coppinger did, Idick did, Jake Donovan, a couple other folks, but we'll see if the Mannixes of the world, what does Chris Mannix got to say about this? Has he said anything? I don't want to listen to his podcast, to be honest with you. sometimes I do, though. I mean, I've listened to it a fair amount, actually. But, you know, this is funny. He said, this is a perfect example. He says, I give up. Because, hopefully he said something else here. Hold on. Nope. So I'm looking at his tweets, right? He didn't tweet anything about the Showtime schedule. Like, hey, pretty good fights, man. The first thing he says is, I give up. The first thing he said was I Give Up, and it's with the Keith Eidig talking about the Charlo fight. That's the first thing he says. Let's see if he – nope, he has nothing else on his timeline where he tweeted it straight up. Maybe he I'll check. I'll give him the benefit. Nope. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't respond to anybody. He didn't, you know, reply. And this is what I'm talking about. This dude works for DAZN. I get it. I get that you're going to be overzealous. All the fucking networks do it, dude. All of them go a little overzealous for their guy. And, you know, it is what it is. The shit gets old, but every network does it, right? That's something you really can't deny. They'll say something and make it just sound great. But that's the first thing. Mannix doesn't retweet it, doesn't even put out a tweet saying it's a decent, you know, not a bad card or, you know, whatever. Just something. Good slate of fights, man. Boxing's starting to heat up. You know what I mean? Nothing. He's not tweeting about it. The first thing he says is that basically that Charlo fight sucks. That's it. I mean, even Iola did an article this time around. I'm checking it right now. It's just like, it's comical. And you can see some people just randomly are like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start being anti-PBC. And I'm going to say stuff about HBO boxing or whatever. And let's see how many tweets I get. Let's see how many, you know, or not tweets, but, you know, likes and all that. It's crazy, dude. Wow. But this will be the people that will say, just call it down the middle, bro. I'm just calling it down the middle. It's like, so do you have an opinion about the fights, or just not like that fight? Because right now, we could go to every – I mean, how many people were pumped up about the fights this weekend? You know, we could go down every schedule and say, I don't like that fight. If people put out four different fights, you know, am I super pumped about that fight? No, I'm not. But it doesn't mean, you know, I mean, it's just funny, dude. Like, am I super pumped about Murata and Golovkin? No, not really. But the fact that Golovkin hasn't, you know, really been active, and he looked bad against Derevchenko. He didn't look that good. It kind of makes me think, huh, maybe he's faded enough. But then again, Murata, when's the last time he fought? But I get it. I get why. Am I pumped about Steve Rolls and Berlanga? Is that this great fight? No, but you know, Berlanga's still a prospect, dude. So he's going to get some rounds. He needs rounds. Obviously, he's knocking everybody the fuck out. And, you know, he's going to be active. They got him going this weekend. Boom. He's coming back for Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend, I think, at the Garden. You know, that's dope. That's good. That better be if, I don't know who he's fighting, but that better be if in Joe Smith Jr., I think the week later, 2 weeks later at the Garden. I think it's at the theater, Hulu Theater. That's a great fight. Better be if and Smith is a great fight, dude. But, you know, you could just pick bad fights and boom, you know. Like, I'm excited for the Rocha-Cobbs fight. Blair Cobbs talking a ton of shit. All right, let's see what you got, buddy. Sonny Edwards and Muhammad Wasim. Are you pumped up for that fight? Are you pumped up for Regis Prograis against Tyrone McKenna? Kenayan or whatever? I'm not, but I understand. Prograis hasn't fought in a while, so he's getting back on the horse, dude. Like, it's just funny how this shit goes down. But, yeah, anyway, DAZN does have a card. We'll see. Like I said, my thoughts go out to Virgil Ortiz. They are trying to save that McKinnison fight or that card. Ramallah Ali's fighting. Who's she fighting? Is it? Hold on. It's like Barnett or something. Yeah, Shelley Barnett. This one's from Japan. Yabukai against Tarahia. Not on. I don't know where that's going to be, though. Foster's fighting too. I've never seen the guy he's fighting. Hopefully that's a 12-rounder. Hopefully that's good. David Avanesian is fighting Metz. I don't don't believe I've seen Mets. That's in London, but I don't see any television for it. So like I said, it's a light weekend. I was looking forward to see how Virgil looked. Like I said, I like that Roach and Cobb's fight, but now that the main event's off on that one. And Edgar Berlanga against Steve Rolls, 10-rounder. That's ESPN or ESPN Plus. That's Saturday, right? Yeah, Saturday. Xander Zayas, he returns. Kind of interesting there. Jahi Tucker, Henry LeBron. So it's like I said, it's a light weekend. It is what it is. I'm not going to pump up the weekend or something like that. Now, next weekend, Burchelt returns. Kiko Martinez and Josh Warrington, that could be a good fight. Max Hughes and Ryan Walsh. Ebony Bridges against Maria Cecilia Roman. And then the fight from here, Tim Zhu here in Minneapolis, Tim Zhu Gouchet. That Riviera Adorno, if Adorno can make weight, that has just straight action written all over it, dude. All over it. So anyway, let me check boxing scene to make sure there isn't any late breaking news. Jake Donovan kind of keep going on this Virgil Ortiz. I felt my body was deteriorating. I didn't know why, and it was frustrating. Shit, dude, that'd be pretty scary because, you know, you're in great shape as a boxer, and you're feeling like shit, and wow. Trying to see if there's any more news about. Yeah, so hopefully, dude, hopefully he comes out, man. I was hospitalized yesterday and had to stay overnight. It could have been a lot worse. I'm thankful we caught it on time. I'm very sorry if I let you guys down. Believe me, if there was a hair of a chance of me fighting, I would. Get well, champ. Man, that's shit, dude. That's really, really rough. Anyway, I think that about wraps it up. I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully we get a fight. You know, sometimes I say it all the time. Sometimes on these weekends where we think, there's not much going on, then all of a sudden a fight pops off, and maybe it'll be Daily Motion. Maybe it'll be on YouTube. Maybe someone will send me, you know, a YouTube clip of this fight, and I'll have to search for it, and it'll be a great fight. You never know. Shit happens, especially in this sport, right? We all think we're a bunch of know-it-alls when it comes to fights sometimes, right? And all of a sudden some shit just surprises. So I'm hoping for that, but either way, we'll be back next week. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that